May is National Foster Care Month, and child welfare groups are highlighting the need for foster care parents in Wisconsin. We will talk about that need, the importance of foster care, and the challenges and rewards of being a foster care parent. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 13th. Are you or have you ever been a foster parent? Is it something you would consider? What questions do you have about the process or the need? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Amy Basting, a foster care recruitment specialist for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So how many children are in foster care in Wisconsin right now?
We have statistics from 2013, and that is showing that there are, now this is going to be statewide numbers, there were 6,516 children in foster care statewide in 2013. And that was an increase of 261 children over the year prior, so 2012.
Mm-hmm. And how many foster care parents are there? Are there enough?
Oh, wow. I would say the need is ongoing. I certainly can't say statewide how many foster parents there are, but I can always say that there's always a need for more.
Yeah. Well, we did see not only stories from Milwaukee County, but and even communities like La Crosse this week talked about the urgent need for foster care parents, in that there are certainly foster care homes in the area, but more children than homes. So that is an issue not just in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. I think that's a consistent message for every county in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee County, I can say, has always an average of about 2,000 children in foster care. And going back to that number of the 6,516 statewide, 34% of that was Milwaukee County.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave us about 2,215 children in care in 2013. So you can see it's big numbers.
Yeah. So why do children go into foster care?
Well, sadly, children are removed from their homes each day because they are not safe. I can tell you the top five reasons that children are removed. And the number one would be neglect. That's big numbers. The second reason is child behavior problems. Third is physical abuse. Fourth is caretaker drug abuse. And the fifth is incarcerated caretakers. And the list goes on, but I'm just going to stick to the top five for now. But all those reasons create unsafe circumstances for children in their homes.
Yeah. And how do children benefit from foster care?
Foster homes provide safe, nurturing environments for kids to heal from any trauma they've experienced. It gives them some stability, and although it may be hard because they initially move in with strangers, they find that they are eventually secure, safe, and can try to overcome some of the challenges they experienced in their short lived little lives.
Right. So, are the children there for indefinite periods of time, or how does that work?
Sure. So, it's really hard to say. I get that question a lot. How long, you know, if I were to be a foster parent, how long would that child be in my home? And honestly, it's case by case. Every child has a different circumstance of what brought them into foster care, and every child's circumstance would be different depending upon how long they need to stay in foster care. So much of that depends on their own family. We want children to be reunited with family if it's safe and if it's appropriate. So we work with the biological families, and I would say all human services organizations do, in order to try to reunite the children in foster care with their biological family. Sometimes that can happen. Sometimes it doesn't proceed that far, so children need to stay in foster care longer until they can find permanent living situations.
So what message do you have for anyone listening right now, because it is National Foster Care Month?
Well, I'd like to say my message would be, please consider being a foster parent. Please consider getting involved. There's ways that you can get involved, either by being a foster parent or contributing to helping in some way, maybe donating new items to children in need or to foster parents. You know, National Foster Care Month is especially important. We recognize all the different people who impact the lives of children in foster care. We recognize the foster parents themselves. They make significant influence on the children. We recognize the family members. We recognize mentors, community members, and the dedicated child welfare professionals who are always working on the best interest of the children in foster care.
Well, let's talk about if someone is considering becoming a parent, are there specific requirements?
There are. So I think a lot of people think, well, gosh, they sometimes rule themselves out without really realizing that they probably qualify. It's not as hard as many people think. Depending upon how you want to be licensed, and we can get into that maybe a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
The qualifications are, there are basic qualifications, and those are set by the state of Wisconsin. So every licensing agency out there needs to follow these guidelines. But I'll start by saying you can be single, partnered, married, divorced. You can work from home, or you can work outside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people rule themselves out. I get a lot of calls saying, well, I'm single. Is that okay? Yes, it is. So I want to make sure people know that. We encourage people to learn about this. So the basic requirements to become a foster parent are you need to be 21 years old or older. We encourage people to attend an informational meeting wherever you live, whatever your local human services department is, or if you're interested in becoming licensed with Children's Hospital Community Services. We can get you that information on how to just learn a little bit more before you to take these steps. People need to pass a criminal background check. Also, a caregiver check, which is a child welfare check. They need to have no prior history or involvement with a child welfare agency. They need to possess sufficient verifiable sources of income. And really this, that means we need them to be able to support themselves and their family so they're not relying on the reimbursement of foster care to support their home. People need to meet the physical home environment requirements, and we'll help all licensing agencies help people understand those guidelines. We don't expect people to know that, and you have the opportunity to make any modifications to your home that's required, such as, for example, having carbon monoxide detectors in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually simple things. We're not talking about home renovations.
Yeah.
People need to have homeowners or renters liability insurance. There needs to be enough space for a foster child in your home, and I can explain that a little further. Foster children can share a bedroom with either other foster children or the children of the foster parent. Foster children do not need to necessarily have their own bedroom, but they cannot share a bedroom. Foster children cannot share a bedroom with adults. Going back to the insurance, another thing, people need to have vehicle liability insurance, and then they need to be willing to participate in professional training to uphold their license.
Mm-hmm. And so you need all this to get the license. You do get reimbursed per child.
Yes.
If you are a foster parent.
Yes, there's a monthly stipend. We call it a reimbursement and not a payment, basically because it's not considered income. It's a tax-free reimbursement meant to help reimburse the foster parent for the cost of caring for For a child, an additional child.
Yeah, and we just have a minute before a news break. Approximately how much is that?
Well, that's a little bit more of a conversation, Joy. I guess we could get into that after the news break, but it's determined based on each child individually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be happy to explain it a little further after the news break.
Sure, we'll do that. We are talking with Amy Basting. She is a foster care recruitment specialist for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services. And we are talking about foster care and the need for foster care parents in Wisconsin and the requirements of being a foster care parent and welcoming your questions. Are you considering becoming a foster care parent? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about foster care in Wisconsin as May is National Foster Care Month. About 6,000 children are currently in foster care in Wisconsin, and it is an ongoing need to have foster parents to give them a safe and loving home. And we welcome your questions about the process and about the need, and wondering if you've ever been a foster parent. Did you enjoy being a foster parent? Have you ever been in foster care? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Amy Basting, who is a foster care recruitment specialist for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services. And Amy, we were talking about the reimbursement that a foster parent would get for caring for foster children. I didn't mean to go into super great detail, but you get a reimbursement. You get compensation for the needs of that child, buying them clothing, feeding them, that sort of thing.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And it's really based on an age range and the level of their need. So it can really fluctuate, and it's something that each child would be assessed for independently.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly maybe a 4-year-old has fewer needs than a 16-year-old or something.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Mike in Kenosha is with us because he wanted to talk about this issue. Mike.
Yes, ma'am. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I understand you're concerned about foster parenting.
Yes, I am. I have a child that was taken away from their mother about a year ago. I have been fighting the system for a year. I have done absolutely everything that the system has asked me, almost to the degree. Now, I understand because of safety reasons why she was removed. But what I realized when I went to court is I should have fought it, because nothing was substantiated. It was all hearsay. The reason my daughter was removed was because the door was unlocked. Well, how many Americans leave their door unlocked? Everybody does. Nobody locks their door 24/7 when they're at home. Also, I did some checking into this when this case first started, and out of the 5 counties that were audited, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, and 2 other ones, everybody in the county, including DCFS, were less than 50% with getting the kids back with the parents, with following through with their requirements to uphold the children in foster care.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm glad you called, and I want to cover some of the concerns you have. I thought Mike was more concerned that too many foster parents just do this to get the money, which he didn't bring up in that particular comment. But maybe we can we talked a little bit about why a child might be removed from their their home, is an unlocked door a typical reason?
Well, I can't comment on specific cases. I can say that each county human services department or agency is regulated by the statutes to determine safety for children, and specific circumstances need to meet that criteria in order to make that decision. So it's hard to say. I think for our organization, I can say that Children's Hospital of Community Services strives to keep children with their families if it's safe and if it's appropriate. And that's that I can't comment more than that because I obviously can't speak to that case.
Right, exactly. But one of the reasons a child might be removed from his or her home is due to safety reasons like neglect or other reasons like that. But you do say that it is the goal to reunite the child with the child's family if it is safe and appropriate.
Correct.
Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. Mike was, I guess, referring to an audit that says that it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and I think every county probably has their own statistics and outcomes. I can say for our organization, for Children's, we have very good outcomes in that area. And so we're excited to say, you know, when it's safe, when it's appropriate, we are able to reunite families safely. When it's not safe and appropriate, we have to look for permanency for children and, you know, to give them that security and that permanence for the future.
Yeah. How do the child welfare advocates or agencies determine if it's safe and appropriate to return a child? What do parents need to do to get their child back?
The families need to meet court conditions, and those are made clear to the families. It's outlined in court papers. We work closely with families to clarify what they would need to do. We provide services for them to maybe provide stability or whatever the primary reason is for removal. We try to work on that to correct it and really uphold the families and strengthen them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I know it's an uncomfortable question, and Mike was concerned that too many people were in this for the money into being foster parents. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that one of the requirements is that a foster parent has to have an income that would be sufficient to cover basic living expenses for themselves and their family, so it's not like you can have absolutely no income at all.
No, not at all. We want to make sure that families can support their own needs before they take on fostering.
Yeah.
And I think that's an old. I guess, of old saying or an old belief. I don't hear it as much, thankfully, mm-hmm. and if you speak with any of our foster parents, they will say that's really not the case. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does someone want to be a foster parent? I mean, I know you recruit them, but you must know what they tell you, why they want to be foster parents.
I think a lot of them say they just felt the calling, felt it in their hearts to want to help children. They saw a need, or maybe they met another foster parent who was caring for children and saw the great impact that they were able to make on those children and wanted to get involved themselves.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Amy Basting, who is a foster care recruitment specialist for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services. And we are talking about foster parenting in Wisconsin and welcoming your questions about the process, welcoming your experiences if you are a foster parent or someone who wants to be a foster parent. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. David in Madison is with us. Hello, David.
Good morning, Joy. My wife and I are a biracial couple who moved to Wisconsin approximately 5 years ago. We were interested in foster care or possibly adopting a couple of children. The thing is that in talking with people in our community, and we live in a diverse community outside of Madison, that what we tend to have discovered is that African-American couples tend to not have the ability or the placement of Caucasian children in their care, that is primarily African-American children. We wanted to become foster parents of children of different races. I would like to know from your guests, who makes the determination of placement? What are the logistics? Are there miles involved for placement? And who determines what child can be placed in what circumstance? Because we would love to have children of different races, because we are a couple of different races, and we would love to share that experience. We make a very nice income, and we would just like to share that, and I will take comments off the air.
Yeah, what about that, Amy?
Sure. So I would encourage the caller to talk with their licensing specialist. I'm not sure who he is licensed with, if it's a private agency or if he's licensed through Dane County. But make it very clear to the licensing worker or any case managers that they are working with that they would the family would like to be open to multiracial placements, that they didn't have any preferences during the licensing process, saying that they would only take a particular race of child, and make their wishes clear, because I think the licensing agency should respect that and should understand that that is their goal.
Yeah. Is there any, I don't know, I mean, are there certain guidelines that wants to place, for example, African-American children with African-American families or white children with white families?
I can't speak for all licensing agencies again, but I can say for Children's Hospital Community Services, we really work with our families to be open to placement of all races. We want people to be open to working for the best interest of all children and really be that hero for all children. So we hope that there is not any racial biases. I can say as far as respecting the Indian Child Welfare Act, that would be a place where we try to uphold that law and try to find tribally affiliated people to work to be available for placement of American Indian children, but that's not always the case either. So I would hope that people are open-minded. I realize that that's an ongoing issue, but for the caller, I really hope he can make his needs known and things can change.
Yeah. Thanks, David. Linda on Facebook says, my mother did fostering for years in the 60s and the 70s. It takes someone special, very special, to do this. Attachment to a child makes it very difficult to let go of the child when that time comes. Can you address that?
Absolutely. I do hear that concern a lot. I think people go into it with their hearts open and getting close and connecting to a child, and then possibly having to have that child move on or be reunited with their family can be hard for the foster parent. I think what you have to do is look at it from the perspective of, I'm not doing this for myself, I'm doing this for the child, and I want that child to heal, and I want that child to be the best they can be while they're with me. And whatever I can give them, whatever security, whatever skills, whatever great life experience while they're with me, I did the best I can while they were with me, and I have to trust that if they move on, they'll take what I gave them, and they'll have that as a gift.
I imagine, and I don't know, Amy, can are there instances where that foster child maintains a relationship with a foster parent, years down the road, even if that child was reunited with his or her family?
Oh, yes. I've heard such fantastic stories from so many foster parents about You know, and for all ages of kids, on how they maintained relationships with the children, they stay connected even with the biological families, get together for dinners, or for in the case of maybe older kids who age out, they come back to the foster homes for holidays or visits, and absolutely stay connected.
Let's go to Rebecca in Wapaka. Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning. I was wondering, I had heard that in order to adopt in Wisconsin, you have to foster children first. And I was wondering if that was true or not.
Yes, it is. Actually, for the state of Wisconsin, in order to be an adoptive parent, you can adopt out of foster care or you can adopt from a private child welfare agency. Either way, you need to have you need to be licensed as a foster parent for 6 months prior to finalizing the adoption. So although you're going into it with the intent of adopting, you are licensed in order to have that child placed in your home for 6 months prior to adoption, which is the law, you have to be a licensed foster home.
Yeah, let me understand that, just to clarify even further. If I'm going through a private agency, I need to be licensed as a foster parent, you're saying, but do I actually have to have a foster child, the child I intend to adopt through a private agency is going to be placed with me in, like, I don't know, temporary foster care before I can legally adopt?
It's really because private placing agencies can't place the child you're intending on adopting into your home without having your home licensed and monitored by the state. We can't place kids into pre-adoptive homes without, I guess, having some legal ramifications around that.
Yeah, I guess I didn't. I assumed that might be the case if I was a foster parent and I might want to adopt a foster child, but I didn't realize that if I was going through a private agency that would be the same situation. However,
it would be, yeah.
So then if, let's say I'm a foster parent and then I decide I want to adopt my foster child, does that child have to be with me a certain amount of time? Does the determination have to be made that the biological family is never going to be safe or appropriate?
It does. There's laws around permanency for children.
Mm-hmm.
And so the case is monitored by the courts in each county. And at between 12 and 15 months, if a child is out of home, in out-of-home care or foster care, case managers are going to start looking for permanency for that child, according to the laws. And if things are good with you and your foster child and you are, you know, they're connected and they're bonded to you, foster parents will probably be the first ones we will ask, are you considering adoption? This, you know, this child needs a forever home, and we need to start looking at how we can achieve that. Foster parents aren't required to adopt. Some people want to, some people don't. But we would ask you first. So, yes, there's a lot of times that option will come up.
We are fostering some awareness about the need for foster care in Wisconsin and talking about the process and the requirements if you want to be a foster care parent, and welcoming your questions, welcoming your experiences. Have you ever considered this? Are you or have you ever been a foster parent? Or maybe your parent was a foster parent. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with a guest from Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services about the need for foster care, the importance of foster care, the challenges and the rewards of being a foster parent. And we'll continue after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about foster care in Wisconsin because May is National Foster Care Month. and child welfare groups throughout the state are highlighting the need for foster care parents in Wisconsin. And we are welcoming your questions about foster care parenting. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Amy Basting, a foster care recruitment specialist for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Service. And, you know, Amy, I was going to mention that there was a time that my husband and I considered being foster parents. I guess we considered that our early morning, our extremely early morning schedules and our 80-hour work weeks probably would not have given us enough time to be adequate parents, and so we decided not to do that. But we were actually, I guess I was actually thinking too that, well, maybe it would be better if we did this, that we would adopt an older child, because an older child still needs plenty of care, obviously, but I, you know, having a little baby was something I think that intimidated me. I understand that that there's actually a greater need to foster older children or teenagers.
There's a great need for foster homes that are willing to work with older children, and I would really encourage people to consider that. I agree with you, Joy. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were to be a foster parent, I would probably go with the older kids. No diapers, no tying the shoes, and bottles and all that. But it depends upon where you're at in life, right?
Yeah.
And what your lifestyle is like, and that's the beauty of it, is you can choose the age range. You can choose the what I call the needs of the child. So, again, it's sort of designed around what the foster family is interested in and capable of and how their lifestyle is structured. I'd like to mention a great way to get involved in foster care that actually wouldn't even require a everyday commitment, and that's what's called respite foster care.
Oh.
Yeah, it's neat, and it's kind of an unknown thing among a lot of people. Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services licensed for respite foster homes throughout the state. We currently have contracts within 33 counties. And respite foster care is neat. I describe it as babysitting for other foster parents.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they want to go on a vacation or something sometime.
Right, right, exactly. It gives them a great opportunity the children get to go to another foster home. It's safe, it's licensed, and the full-time foster parents get a little break.
Yeah, that's an interesting possibility. We have so many calls. Let me go back to the phones and take Elizabeth in Green Bay. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. I'm a former foster, so I have tons that I could say. So I'm going to sum it up into two main points because you have a lot of callers. First one, as a former foster, went in the foster system when I was age 12, turned 18 my junior year of high school. Went through a ton of struggles there. The one thing I want to address is the stigma of foster care. I've encountered it a lot. I'm 30 now, and I still encounter this. People have the assumption that youth who grow up in the severely abusive homes or go through foster care are somehow damaged and dangerous and are going to do something terrible to them, like burn down their house, or they're not safe for their kids or their friends. I'm a mother of two, working on my MSW, no criminal history, no drug past, pretty good with friends. Yeah. I'm a member of the former foster. There's an alliance, a national foster alliance, where lots of former foster youth and social workers, we do policy things. And most of us actually do end up okay if we have good, loving people involved in our lives. So I had a really good foster mom who sadly I was switched from her home, but she encouraged me and I ended up okay. And that's the same story from a lot of foster kids. Second thing, which is currently political, the reason that I also attribute me doing so well is when I turned 18 my junior year of high school, Brown County had this amazing transitional living program where for 18 months they let me only have to pay half rent for an apartment. They paid the other half. They encouraged me to go to college, helped me with homework, did a lot for me. Now our state is moving away from transitional living programs because they believe they're too expensive. So where that's a problem is if you think about these people turning 18 their junior year of high school, there's 57,000, or was it 47,000, they're doing that every year right now in the U.S. They turn 18, they come out of foster care. When there's no services to teach them how to live on their own, when they've never had the parents who are there to teach them the basics, they end up becoming homeless. Like a year coming out of foster care, 47% of youth end up becoming homeless. 80% of our prison population is made up of former foster youth. Like, they're pretty bad statistics. But when you have these programs that assist these youth when they age out for that first year, the statistics drastically change. I work at a homeless place with Transitional Living, and 8% of our youth ever come back. So it's a really, really good turnout. And that were my points, so I'll let you go.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for bringing up very important issues. Do you have a comment at all, Amy, on the transitional programs that Elizabeth is concerned are not being supported as they used to be supported?
Well, Elizabeth brought up some great points, and I'm hoping that the transitional living programs, or what we always call the independent living programs, are in place. There are requirements for children to be assessed for independent living skills starting at, I think, 15 now, if they're foster children. And they, there's a lot that goes into it in terms of connecting children to the right opportunities and organizations to support that, you know, for them to launch into adulthood out of foster care. So sounds like she had some great experiences herself and had some supportive foster parents that allowed her to be moving on to such a successful life, and good for her.
I want to bring up another point, but if you're the foster parent of a child who's in high school and that child turns 18, that's it. That child is now an adult and no longer, your foster child.
If they're on track to graduate and they're still 18 and in foster care and meet certain other criteria, they can remain in foster care until they graduate, and then hopefully simultaneously they're being connected to other opportunities so that they're not, just dropped, essentially dropped. So, there's a lot of that goes into it behind the scenes to ensure that children aren't just put on their own. I think a lot has changed, and that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Elizabeth brought up a point I was going to talk about, is that I think some people, and I will admit that I thought about it too, are concerned that a foster child must be severely psychologically damaged if they're in foster care. That's an unfair stigma that the foster child carries with him or her.
It is. I think kids have challenges that are in foster care, but there's such a wide range of the challenges, and some children are functioning at very optimal levels. Some children have much greater challenges. So there's a wide variety of kids, just the same as we need a wide variety, just like any child, right? Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily need to be in foster care to have a challenge. So,
right.
But it's somewhat of an unfair stigma. And I'd like to say, from my experience working with the kids, they are so great. They are great. And, whatever challenges they have, get a great person and, help, step up and be there for them and show them the right path or give them the skills to function so that they can succeed.
Yeah, right. Every teenager is a challenge, I think. Pamela in Chippewa Falls is with us. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Joy. I work at University of Wisconsin-Stout, and I just wanted to let people know we have a program called Fostering Success. And it's so once kids get through the foster care system, if they aspire to go to college, we try to fill that need that they would have as if a parent was there. And if you look up Fostering Success at UW-Stout, it'll bring you to a page. There's a lot of scholarships information. But I wanted to specifically mention there's something called Chafee Grants that are available. It's a federal grant program that we found that many, many foster parents and foster youth do not know about. So it is a source of funds that helps them be able to make the difference to go to college. And we have some fabulous students, that are taking advantage of that and that are getting their degrees right now. So I hope more parents, foster parents, encourage students to check into that.
Thank you very much, Pamela. I'm just going to move on to another caller as we almost are out of time. Audrey in La Crosse. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
Good. So you used to be in foster care, and now you're a licensed provider.
Yeah. So I did 16 years in foster care, and now I'm married, a UW graduate, and I am a licensed foster care provider in La Crosse. And I wanted to get the word out there, like Amy was saying, that if people aren't ready to make the jump and be a foster parent, there's other ways you can support foster kids. Respite is a huge one. We're always looking for respite providers, as much for the kids, I think, as for the foster parents. also, we're in need of, you know, mentors and people to kind of fill the big hole that is kind of left in your life when you get put in foster care.
Well, thank you, Audrey, very much. Amy, what as we're wrapping up, I guess, if people are interested, how can they get more information on any of these foster care programs?
Sure. So I can say for our organization, you can go to chw.org/fostercare, and it will show the variety of ways, of the different ways of being a foster parent. There's general foster care, treatment foster care, and respite foster care. For people who, and we can share the different counties, because we're kind of all over the state. If you're looking at doing general foster care in your county, you can contact your local human services department. And you could also visit the Coalition for Youth and Family. So it's Coalition for CYF.org. They are a statewide organization who has just a wealth of information on foster care, adoption, fantastic resource.
We will put that on our Facebook page. Thank you so much for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Amy Basting, foster care recruitment specialist for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Community Services, talking with us about foster care as it is National Foster Care Month. And the need for fostering in Wisconsin is great. Thanks to Kayla Blado and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk with several guests about the findings released in the Tony Robinson shooting. Tomorrow at this time, we are going to talk about the life of Orson Welles, the life and legacy of Orson Welles, and the festival that is celebrating his 100th birthday in Kenosha.